Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you're here because today we're diving into one of the most hands-on, practical, and genuinely exciting parts of your GCSE chemistry course, Topic 7, Practical Skills. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. It's just about doing experiments, right? But here's the thing. Practical skills account for 15% of your written exam marks. That's right, the way you describe, explain, and evaluate experiments in the exam room directly affects your grade. So whether you love being in the lab or you find it a bit nerve-wracking, this podcast is going to give you everything you need to feel confident and pick up those marks. We'll cover the core concepts clearly, walk through the key techniques, share the exam tips that examiners actually look for, run a quick-fire recall quiz, and finish with a punchy summary. Let's get started. Let's begin with the big picture. Topic 7 is built around something called the Practical Activity Groups, or PAGs for short. There are 8 of these groups, and together they cover every major practical technique you need to know. Think of them as your practical toolkit, and in the exam, questions will test whether you know how to use each tool correctly. The first area is safe handling of substances. This sounds obvious, but examiners love asking about it. When you're working with gases, you need to ensure you're in a well-ventilated area, ideally a fume cupboard for toxic gases like chlorine. When handling corrosive liquids like concentrated acids, you must wear safety goggles and a lab coat. For solids, especially fine powders, you avoid inhaling them. The key word examiners use here is hazard, and they want you to link the hazard to the precaution. So don't just say wear goggles. Say wear goggles to prevent acid splashing into the eyes. Next up, accurate measurement. This is where so many candidates lose marks unnecessarily. Let's go through the 4 key measurements. Mass, you use a balance, and you should record to 2 decimal places, like 12.34 grams. Time, you use a stopwatch, recording in seconds. Temperature, you use a thermometer or temperature probe, recording in degrees, Celsius. Volume of liquids, this is where it gets interesting. You use a measuring cylinder for approximate volumes, but for precise volumes, you use a burette or a pipette. And here's a crucial point. When you read a measuring cylinder or burette, you always read from the bottom of the meniscus. That curved surface of the liquid? Read the lowest point. Examiners will specifically credit this in mark schemes. Now let's talk about separation techniques. This is a favorite exam topic. There are 4 main ones you need to know. First, filtration. You use this to separate an insoluble solid from a liquid. Think of muddy water. The mud stays on the filter paper as the residue, and the clean water passes through as the filtrate. Second, crystallization. You use this to obtain a dissolved solid from a solution. You heat the solution to evaporate some water until it becomes saturated, then leave it to cool. Crystals form as the solubility decreases. Third, simple distillation. This separates a liquid from a dissolved solid, or separates liquids with very different boiling points. The liquid evaporates, travels through a condenser where it cools and condenses back to liquid, and is collected separately. Fourth, paper chromatography. This separates mixtures of soluble substances, like food dyes or inks. You draw a pencil baseline, spot your sample, place the paper in a solvent, and watch the components travel different distances up the paper. You then calculate the RF value, that's the distance moved by the spot divided by the distance moved by the solvent front. Each pure substance has a unique RF value in a given solvent. Let's move on to identification tests, another exam favorite. Gas tests first. Hydrogen. Hold a lit splint near the gas. You get a squeaky pop. Oxygen. Hold a glowing splint near the gas. It relights. Carbon dioxide. Bubble the gas through lime water. It turns milky or cloudy. Hold damp litmus paper near the gas, it bleaches white. Learn these 4 cold, they come up constantly. Flame tests identify metal ions. You dip a clean nichrome wire loop into the sample and hold it in a blue Bunsen flame. The colors to remember: lithium gives crimson red, sodium gives yellow orange, potassium gives lilac, calcium gives brick red, copper gives blue green, and barium gives pale green. A useful memory trick: little sodium-potassium cats can bark. Lithium, sodium, potassium, calcium, copper, barium. Now, titration. This is used to find the concentration of an acid or alkali. You fill a burette with one solution, say, sodium hydroxide. You use a pipette to measure a precise volume of the other solution, say hydrochloric acid, into a conical flask. You add a few drops of indicator, typically phenolphthalein or methyl orange. Then you slowly add the burette solution, swirling constantly, until the indicator just changes color permanently. That's the endpoint. You record the initial and final burette readings and calculate the titer, final reading minus initial reading. You repeat until you get concordant results. That means two titers within 0.10 centimeters cubed of each other, and then average those concordant results. Finally, let's touch on measurement quality. Examiners love asking you to distinguish between accuracy, precision, repeatability, and reproducibility. Accuracy means how close your result is to the true value. Precision means how close your repeated results are to each other, even if they're all wrong. Repeatability means you get consistent results when you repeat the experiment yourself under the same conditions. Reproducibility means someone else gets consistent results using a different method or apparatus. These four terms are higher tier favorites. Right, let's talk exam strategy. The first thing to remember is that practical questions in the written paper will often describe an experiment and ask you to evaluate it, suggest improvements, or explain what a student did wrong. The key is to be specific. Don't say the student should be more careful. Say the student should read the burette from the bottom of the meniscus to avoid a parallax error. Common mistake number one, candidates describe what they did rather than explaining why. If the question says explain, you must use the word because or give a cause and effect link. The student heated the solution because evaporating the water increases the concentration until the solution becomes saturated, allowing crystals to form on cooling. That's an explain answer. Common mistake number two, forgetting units. In any measurement question, always include units. Centimeters cubed for volume, grams for mass, degrees Celsius for temperature. Examiners will not award the mark if the unit is missing on a final answer. Common mistake number three, not linking observations to theory. If you see lime water turning milky, don't just say carbon dioxide is present. Say carbon dioxide reacts with calcium hydroxide in the lime water to form calcium carbonate, which is insoluble and causes the milky appearance. That's the kind of answer that earns full marks. For 6-mark questions about practical procedures, use a structured approach. State the method clearly, explain the purpose of each step, identify a potential source of error, and suggest how to improve it. Examiners are looking for logical, sequential thinking. Time for a quick-fire quiz. Pause after each question and try to answer before I give you the answer. Question 1. What color does a sodium flame test produce? Yellow-orange. Question 2. What is the formula for RF value in chromatography? Distance moved by spot divided by distance moved by solvent front. Question 3. What happens to lime water when carbon dioxide is bubbled through it? It turns milky or cloudy. Question 4. What is the difference between accuracy and precision? Accuracy is how close to the true value. Precision is how close repeated results are to each other. Question 5. In a titration, what are concordant results? Two titers within 0.10 centimeters cubed of each other. How did you do? If you got all 5, you're in great shape. If not, go back and review those sections. They're high-frequency exam topics. Let's wrap up with the key takeaways. 1. Know your 8 pH and the techniques associated with each. 2. Always link hazards to precautions. Don't just name the safety measure. Explain why it's needed. 3. Master the 4 separation techniques and know which one to use for which mixture. 4. Learn the gas tests and flame test colors. They come up in almost every paper. 5. In titration, always average concordant results and read the burette from the bottom of the meniscus. 6. Know the difference between accuracy, precision, repeatability, and reproducibility, especially for higher tier. 7. When answering explain questions, always give a cause and effect link using because. You've got this. Practical skills are learnable, and with the right knowledge of what examiners are looking for, you can absolutely nail this topic. Keep revising, keep practicing past paper questions, and remember, every mark counts. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.